Welcome back to ADHD Money Talk, the show that helps dynamic but distracted ADHD brains take back control over their money in order to live a more stressful life, more financial security, less anxiety, less relationship issues, more freedom, more doing fun things, more putting your money where your values lie, more of all of this stuff. All of this stuff is what we talk about. For today's show, guys, I'm going to talk to you about a personal situation that is going on with me, and I've learned a lesson. Life happened to me, and you know I love a Life Happens Fund, so I am very thankful that I do have a pretty well-funded Life Happens, aka emergency fund, but it's still very painful to have to dip into it even when there's emergencies, because then things start kind of going off plan, and it can kind of throw me, my brain, into a loop and overwhelm, and if I'm spending a lot of money on something that's an emergency, then sometimes I'm just like, screw it, I'm going to spend more money on other stuff, and then things can just go messy, so I'm trying to keep myself together here. But what has happened? What has happened in my life? Why is life happening to me? And what lessons can we learn? So my four-year-old bearded collie named Willow has been sick. It started out with some vomiting and then diarrhea and then refusing to eat. And this went on for like a week and a half before we finally took her to the vet. I took her somewhat reluctantly because I know how much a vet visit is going to cost usually, and my brain was telling me, she'll get better, just give it time, she's resilient, she's had diarrhea and, you know, thrown up before, she's gone better, but, you know, it comes to a point where you just can't keep letting it go on, it's been going for too long, so we took her to the vet. So on the first visit, they give you kind of this option. Do you want to give her testing to figure out exactly what's going on, or do you want to just try some medicine and take her home and, you know, try some home care, which is less expensive? So I opted for the less expensive choice. Sure enough, that gamble did not work out for me very well because she did not get better. She continued to get worse. And so we had to take her back. And so on the second trip to the vet, we did the testing because that's, you know, the next thing to do. We did the testing, the blood test and ultrasound and all this stuff. And it turns out she has pancreatitis, which is something that they did suspect, but now it's confirmed, pancreatitis. At this point, it had been about 2.5 weeks where she was basically not eating. And when I say like not eating, I mean like she would go one day without taking even a bite of food. And the next day, it got to a point where I was basically calling it like the minimum viable amount of food she needed to eat to like keep her system going. It was getting pretty bad and she was having very bad diarrhea and vomiting. So it was bad. I mean, this was tough. This was a tough situation and it is still a tough situation, but let me continue. So the vet basically said that she's in a gray area. Like we can take her home again and continue with the home care treatment with a few extra meds that they were going to give us. If we continue with that, there's a chance she'll start eating again and she'll, you know, she'll get better and pancreatitis, the pancreas will settle down and all this stuff. And the other option is to hospitalize her. So again, I knew the hospitalization options. I'm just thinking in my head like, oh my God, that's so much money. I don't really want to do that. So I again chose the least expensive option, trying to be optimistic. She's going to get better. She's resilient. And again, that failed, right? I feel like you can probably tell where this is going at this point. So it failed. She was getting worse. And so we just had to take her in. She had to stay in the hospital. And, you know, we were quoted for a 3-day stay in the hospital. They were going to give her meds through injection, keep her hydrated through an IV. And they were going to think that they thought that that was going to get her to start eating so she could start to recover and slow down the diarrhea, which again was really bad. But alas, okay, it's been 2 days and 2.5 days in the hospital and she's still not eating. And so I got a call, you know, actually the night before I got the bad call, they called me saying that she actually had a little bit of food and she seemed a little bit better. But the next morning they called and said, she's not eating, she seems more nauseous. They did another blood test and her blood protein level had dropped to a level where it was, okay, it's decision time. We have to do something more invasive. We have to do something to get food in her stomach. So I was faced again with this binary choice of the ideal but way more expensive option and a less ideal option. But in this case, the less expensive option, it was still a good option in terms of it's still pretty effective and it's a lot less. So, okay, so you get what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, oh gosh, I keep having to make these choices and it kind of sucks. Like I'm choosing between my dog and my money and my future and my dog's future. And it's just like, these questions start coming up to your head that you don't really want to be dealing with, but you have to because the situation is happening. So anyways, the less expensive option, not a big step down in terms of effectiveness, was an esophageal feeding tube. So basically, So for one day in the hospital, so she stayed one day with the feeding tube, and they fed her through the tube, where they basically, and you know, you use a syringe and you're pushing food through a tube that's into her neck. And it sounded crazy, but it actually wasn't as crazy as I thought, and it was actually not that bad. So we did that for a day, then we went to the vet, and then they showed us how to do it, and we learned, and then we took her home, and for about 5 or 6 days now, we've been doing this, right to this day. We've been doing that. We've been blending up food and putting it in there, putting in medicine through there, putting in water, and she's getting better, okay? She is recovering, and I think she's going to be good. She's starting to eat now on her own, which was the whole goal, get her feeling good enough to start eating on her own. This is amazing, and I'm so happy because she's 4 years old. She's an amazing bearded collie. If you don't know what a bearded collie is, look it up because you don't see them very often, but they're so cute, fluffy. They kind of look like a smaller version of an English sheepdog, but they're kind of got the energy of a border collie, but they're more goofy. They're very bouncy. They're very awesome dogs. I love them. We have two, and they're awesome. So, you know, this was not fun to have to be faced with a huge medical dog bill for my dog that I love, but I think my culture or where I've come from growing up is there does come a point, you know, where you'd say no, enough's enough. Like it's just a dog. And then my fiance on the other hand, and I hope she's okay with me saying this, is more of like, you know, go to the end of the earth for the dog. So this all brought up uncomfortable conversations. It brought up uncomfortable what ifs and all kinds of uncomfortable stuff that, you know, I rather wouldn't have dealt with. I'm busy, you know, but this is life. So, and it's been a pretty dang big hit to my own financial situation. I mean, I don't have a ton of money. You know, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I wasn't that long ago that I had my own sort of financial rock bottom while I was being a financial planner. So like, I'm still in recovery mode myself with my finances to a certain extent. And I've made a lot of progress, but having to dip into my emergency fund and now knowing I have to replenish it, that takes away from my other goals. And it creates a lot of stress and overwhelm. And I'm not necessarily very good at taking on lots of stress and anxiety very calmly. I'm much more of a, oh my gosh, my brain's going crazy type. Like I'm suspecting some of you listening to this may be the same way or a similar way. But almost more frustrating, like I kind of was just alluding to, is the tension and stress and anxiety that this has brought into mine and my fiance's life, because this money is gone now. There's nothing I can do about it. And I'm so thankful that Willow is on the mend. But this created, like I said, like a lot of stressful conversations, a lot of anxiety, lots of like, what, like, should we spend this much? You know, conversations like, what's the probability of this working? And how much would we be willing to spend for this level of probability? It's like, it's way messy. And it's just, ugh, it's like, no. And so this is ultimately turning into an insurance lesson. So let me tell you a little bit about why I wish I had pet insurance. I haven't done an episode on insurance yet because I want to make this podcast interesting, and insurance is really not that interesting, but like I need to do an episode on actual like life insurance, disability insurance, because it's really incredibly important. And this is showing you how important pet insurance is. And I don't have pet insurance, and I wish I did. I never even really thought about it. For whatever reason, I guess I'm still young. I haven't had experience with pet. You don't learn about it when you're going through the CFP curriculum, you know. But pet insurance would have saved me a lot of money. And also, insurance is got to be one of those easily avoidable things for ADHD brains, because to get like life insurance, you need to get a physical a lot of times. You need to fill out lots of paperwork. There's lots of things that are just like, ugh. Getting insurance you want to avoid, going to the doctor you want to avoid. It's all these things you want to avoid, right? So it's like, it's a very hard thing to get, but it's so dang important. So let's just keep talking about it here, at least for the pet side. And I promise to bring you an episode on actual insurance at some point in the near future. So what would have been different had I had pet insurance? And we're going to talk about a basic pet insurance that covers, doesn't cover your annual yearly checkup. It just covers medically necessary surgery, medically necessary stays in the hospital, medication, things like that. Things that you can't really budget for. They're unplanned for. They're unexpected. So had I had pet insurance, first, there would be absolutely no hesitation for me to take her to the vet right away. I would know that I would be able to file a claim and have probably like 80% of the bills paid for, okay? This means we wouldn't be arguing about how much money we would need to spend on our dog and when to take her in at our home. Me and Jill would not be arguing about this. We would have no feeling guilty about feeling like I am deciding between my dog and my financial future, because I don't like being confronted with this thought that maybe there's a point where I would choose my financial future over my dog. And I feel like, honestly, yeah, there is going to be that point for everyone. Like, you might hate that I'm saying this, but I still believe deep down that a dog is not a human. You know, I value human life a lot more than a dog, and my dog is very important to me, but blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh. I would have avoided all of this. Having pet insurance for my dog is my way of saying, I love you, dog. I care about you. I'm doing this to protect you because I want you to live a long, happy life. And I don't need, in the moment of stress and anxiety, when decision-making gets worse and when emotions come into play, I wouldn't have to think about it. It'd be like, Willow, this was insurance was for you. Let's go use it. Let's go take care of you. No doubt about it. No question. And so how much does like pet insurance cost? I haven't even really looked at this in the recent past, or I don't think I've ever looked at this. So it looks like I could have had a policy that would have covered, like I said, everything we just went through for about $30 a month, okay? Keep in mind, I only just checked one insurance provider just now, so I could maybe even find a better deal. But the point is, for a four-year-old and nine-month-old to this point, and I also checked what the quote would be for if it was a puppy versus 4 years old, and it's still about $30 to $35, okay? So not crazy. And then I also did check what it would be to insure a bearded collie that was like 10 years old. They have a lifespan of about 13, 14 years. It was like $55 a month. So it's not a huge range, okay? But just to get my point across here, the point is she's 4 years and 9 months old. I would have spent on insurance premiums per month about $1,700 up to this point. And let's just say that is well less than what I just had to spend on her in one shot. So one of the big things about this is with the insurance, you can basically calculate what your probable total cost of insurance will be over the course of the dog's life. And you spread that out over the lifespan of your dog. Okay, so would you rather spend $1,700 over 4.5 years or spend three times that in one shot? Okay. That's what I'm saying, okay? Like, you don't want to do that. You want to spread it out, and that's also taking care of the dog, taking care of yourself. You're passing the risk of your dog getting sick off to the insurance company, and you're not retaining that financial risk because you have better things to be worrying about and better things to be saving for and using your extra money for, a little bit to your dog's safety to protect your financial situation in case of an emergency, which you never know when's going to happen, is worth it. And so people will say, like, well, you know, what if she never got sick? And you had insurance the whole time. Isn't that like throwing money away? That's kind of the what people, like, a lot of times we'll hear about insurance when you just like, you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to buy life insurance. I'm going to pay $200 a month on this premium. If, you know, no one dies early in my family or whatever, I'm just throwing money away. Okay, sure. You can think that all you want, but I'm here to tell you that it's definitely not, because you are making a calculated decision to protect yourself from a loss that is hard to come back from. And like I've said before, not to mention protecting your furry friend, or in the case of other types of insurance, protecting yourself, your family, your business. There's lots of things that insurance can do. And so just to continue with some numbers here, a bearded collie, like I said, has a lifespan of 13 years. So the total lifetime cost of insurance for Willow over 13 years, and I even went so far as to assume an 8% increase in the premium each year, because if I do that, that gets me to about the level where it is about when she's 11 or 12 years old. The total cost of premiums for this dog over the course of 13 years is about $7,700, okay? I've had to absorb basically half of that amount in one hit, as opposed to spreading out over that time period over a decade, which is much more easy to digest. And this way also, if she's older and she gets sick, I can again take her to the vet and not worry about it and not have a conversation that's like, well, she's old, let's just let her pass away peacefully, whatever. Like, we can still then do what it takes to keep her living more with our family for longer because we have the insurance. It's worth it. It might sound like a lot of money, but remember, over 13 years, $7,700 is just like $600 a year. Like, come on, me, Dave, you should have had this before. What were you thinking? You're a planner. Like, this is, don't let the imposter syndrome come in. You're okay. You're talking about it openly on the podcast. We're good, all right? But anyways, that's it. That's what life happens to me. I'm happy to tell you Willow's on the mend. She's feeling better. She's starting to eat. We're taking her tomorrow to take the tube out, and I think she's going to be just fine. And guess what? I am going to get pet insurance, and please hold me to it. Somebody email me in like 2 weeks and say, hey, did you get pet insurance? Did you get it? I need that accountability myself. I'm not always the greatest at that. I can give you accountability, my clients accountability. It's still hard to give myself accountability, especially when I'm busy and getting overwhelmed. So do me a favor and hold me to this. All right. So that was the podcast for today. A little bit of my life. and the lesson I learned from it, insurance lesson. Going to bring you more insurance stuff in the near future. And I hope you enjoyed this. I enjoyed it, and I'll see you next week.